Texas Business Minds, a presentation of the Business Journals of Texas. Brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping companies build a stronger, safer Texas. And by Independent Financial, banking for business, banking for life. In this download, Austin Business Journal Managing Editor Will Anderson talks tacos and business with Ernst & Young's Entrepreneur of the Year in the Gulf South Division.
In less than 20 years, Torchy's Tacos has gone from a single food trailer in South Austin to a nation-spanning chain with more than 110 locations in 14 states. The man at the middle of it all is CEO Mike Ripka. Mike, welcome to the Texas Business Minds podcast.
Thank you, my man. Good to see you today.
You as well. Let's start out big picture. How is Torchy's Tacos doing?
You know, we're doing great. We've got more locations we're opening. We hope to be about 120 locations by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Expanding to new markets as well as opening in a lot of our Texas markets in Austin as well. We've got one planned coming soon in Leander, which will be fun. We're doing good.
Yeah, more locations. You guys have been opening lots of locations. That Leander, Georgetown, Liberty Hill is up in my neck of the woods. So
Okay. She's
coming closer to me. And then I see more locations in North Carolina, other places. So is that the roadmap, continuing to open locations?
Yeah, for now. I mean, I think there's definitely a lot of white space for us. We've got a lot of great, loyal, amazing fans that we get emails constantly of, hey, when are you coming to this city or that city? They either tried us traveling to Texas or maybe used to live here and have moved away since. We definitely take that into account when we're thinking about like where to go and where to expand. And ultimately, just really, you know, one of the things I started with is I really wanted to provide opportunities for my people. So obviously, the more we grow, the more opportunities there are for folks within the organization to move up and have a damn good career, as we like to say here at Torchy's.
So people definitely do seem to travel to get to Torchy's. It's kind of got a reputation of, you know, the lines out the door on opening day. So I think a lot of people would be interested to know, how do you pick your locations? That seems kind of like you've developed a winning formula, and other retailers or real estate folks would be very interested in that.
Yeah, like I said, we garner a lot of that feedback from our fans, so that definitely plays into it. We also, you know, we've learned a lot over the last 17 years in terms of kind of what is a good demographic for us, income levels, you know, who, where, age groups, and all that stuff. Luckily, we have a pretty wide net when it comes to that. We don't really skew one way or the other. And so that helps. But really, we want to be where the people are. So highly populated areas is obviously a big thing. When we're looking at sites, is there a lot of synergy with other retailers and restaurants as well? Is this place where a lot of people are coming to eat for a lot of different reasons? And how do we get to be a part of that? So that's typically the kind of things we look at.
That diversity is a good point. I mean, I remember when Torchy's was pretty centrally Austin located, and then it expanded to the northwest side, to farther flung areas. You see them around a lot of HEBs now, but then also opened downtown yeah. Austin in the last few years. So a lot of different locations, and it seems like you can kind of meld that to the location a little bit too.
We say internally, if you've been to one Torchy's, you've been to one Torchy's.
So. Oh, just like Chewy's, the famous Chewy's slogan.
Yeah. We really try to pay attention to the neighborhood we're in. Obviously, we have certain things that are the same from just an operational standpoint, our kitchens, our bars, and those types of things, the way they're laid out. But in terms of how they look to the guest, we try to really hone in and make those different and maybe a little more prone to the neighborhood in which they're in.
Let me hone in on that a little bit, the look, the feel of Torchy's, because one of the things that I think it's very well known for, and by the way, you can't see this on the podcast, but there's a giant sign behind you that says, damn good, like damn good tacos that you guys are known for. So it kind of strikes me as it's got a little bit of a punk rock style or some kind of like some coy, like irreverence basically, and doesn't take itself too seriously. And I just wonder, how do you keep that instilled, especially as you grow from one location to a few dozen to 100 plus? Like that seems like a challenge.
Well, so, you know, it's funny that, our literal mission statement is to be damn good. So I think a lot of that is we have a lot of that baked in our culture. So if it's part of your culture and you're committed to it, I think it can make it a lot easier to be able to execute that, you know, over time and consistently. Do we make mistakes from time to time? For sure. But also a lot of when early on in the design phase, when we went from a, you know, a food truck to being an actual brick and mortar, we thought, you know, hey, we want to have elements of kind of the street and that street food culture in all our restaurants. So you'll notice that we have different lots of steel, and we'll sometimes we do like road reflectors, and we'll do designs out of those. We'll use plywood. We'll use things like that to sort of speak to more kind of street type materials. And that really kind of helps us stay grounded in our roots. And we do it, I feel like we do it in a very kind of elegant way. So that's places still look very nice, but they also sort of, we do it in a way so you don't feel like it's stuffy or you need to come in a suit, if you will.
Yeah, in a way it doesn't, you know, to get to your point, Torchy's Tacos locations don't really look the same, but you kind of know it when you see it. You might see corrugated metal. There's even like kind of fencing or like some kind of like see-through material that almost, it's almost like hidden in there. So you look and then you realize, oh, that might look kind of similar, but it's not the same. It just kind of harkens to a similar kind of style. And I guess that design makes, it's pretty critical when you have so many locations, when you're opening so many locations, you got to think a lot about that. And I wonder if it's done in-house or if you use help from other architecture firms on that.
So we do a lot of that in-house, but every couple years we will go out and bring in a fresh pair of eyes. And so we'll go out and talk to some new architects and have them kind of give us a fresh look on things and show us some stuff. So we've kind of taken that approach over the years. That way we're staying fresh and constantly sort of innovating our design.
Yep.
And so that helps a lot as well.
Okay, take me behind the queso curtain. What's the typical order at Torchy's look now? You know, what does that look like? Has that changed as it's grown? Like the average ticket size? Like what's the kind of financial, have the financials changed as you've grown such an extraordinary amount?
It's been fairly similar in terms of check size. I think delivery and use of mobile app has probably increased a little bit. Also, you know, pricing today is much different than it was back in 2006.
No doubt.
That's definitely added in terms of the size of the check. But the typical order, honestly, since day one has kind of been two tacos and a queso and a drink. Early on, we didn't have bars. We started putting those in after about location 10. And so that's helped drive the check up a little bit. You know, obviously, a margarita is a lot more expensive than a Coke. It's all pretty much that. And then with the to-go and the delivery stuff, you'll a lot more families. I think sometimes people will order an extra queso to have it in the fridge so they can heat it up and eat it, you know, maybe the next day or so.
I read in Nation's Restaurant News, they were doing a profile of Torchy's just recently, and they quoted you or had you predicting, you know, 10 to 15% growth rate, something like that. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's kind of where we feel comfortable growing. You can't outgrow your people and your talent. We have a huge emphasis on really promoting from within. So we do a lot of work inside the company in terms of really developing people and identifying top talent and getting our arms around them and making sure that we can take them to the next level. So we get a much better culture as a result of that. And maybe we're not a 20% growth crazy company, but 10 to 15 is still very healthy and keeps us going.
Yep, very much so in restaurants. And the training aspect maybe is an example of that culture you're speaking about. So I don't know, some restaurant groups have centralized kind of training programs. I think of some of the airlines that have, you know, the hotel, like the central hotel that everyone can fly into and learn. I wonder if maybe you could take us inside how you focus on that training. Because again, with all that growth, you're needing new store managers, you're needing new shift leaders all the time. How do you use that to imbue culture?
It's funny you say that. We've sort of gone back and forth as a company on, you know, do you have one central place that you bring everybody to? And, you know, as we've gotten bigger and more expansive, that gets very expensive.
Yeah.
And it also, you know, you think about, hey, if you hire a manager in Florida And our training programs usually 10 to 12 weeks. That's a long time to ask them to be away from their family. So we've taken more of a local in-store approach. So we have identified training centers that we certify around different markets. We try to have them in most major markets. And so we'll send people there. And then once we get a store open, we very quickly start to identify and certify who are the lead trainers there. And we have a system in place that trains them to become really good trainers and kind of take it from that place.
It's kind of like a hub and spoke approach. So I've read about how you kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, but kind of enter a market slowly and then kind of build the brand recognition. And then you might open multi-units in a market. You kind of got that hub. And then as you identify leadership, you know, strong potential in people, then you can kind of build around a little, you know, a flag you've planted.
Yeah, that's exactly how we do it.
Mike Ripka joining us. Next, his take on returning as CEO when Texas Business Minds continues.
This year at Texas Mutual Insurance Company, we're celebrating 25 years of dividends and a record $340 million dividend distribution to Texas businesses. See how business is better with Texas Mutual at texasmutual.com/dividends.
At Independent Financial, we know you work hard for your business. That's why we work hard for you. Ready to get down to business? Let's talk at ifinancial.com/business. Independent Financial, banking for business, banking for life.
You founded Torchy's Tacos, as we said, in 2006. You stepped away as CEO for a little bit in 2019, I believe.
Wow, 2018, 2019, yeah, right around in there.
18, 19, and G.J. Hart came in, who had been at California Pizza Kitchen, I believe now is at Red Robin, and had been at a time when expansion was really ramping up. And then you came back in, I think, 2020, officially named CEO, something like that.
21, actually, in November, 21, yeah.
21, thank you. Walk us through that. Bringing in someone else is always an interesting decision from a business, you know, leadership standpoint and use case. Talk us through that and then coming back to the CEO role.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, me and my original four other partners, we were looking for some help. We were probably around 30, 35 locations at that point. And this is maybe 2017-ish before GJ came on, and we brought on General Atlantic as an advisor. And really just to, you know, have someone to work with us that, you know, can help us foresee any obstacles we may not know to think about, you know, as you're expanding and growing. And we knew that we were getting to a place where we needed a leader. And I think at that point, we sort of felt like we don't know what we don't know. Maybe it'd be nice to bring someone in who's got some experience, who's done this before. We worked that out with General Atlantic and started a search. And we found GJ, and he came on board and worked here for a couple of years, 3 or 4 years, and helped us quite a bit. And then he decided to move on and do what he's doing now. So I stepped back in. At the time, I needed a little bit of a break, to be honest with you. I'd been slaying the dragon for a while, and it felt good to take a step back and sort of recharge and rethink kind of where I was at and stuff. And honestly, with the way our partnership was, it was going to be hard for any of us to sort of step up and be a CEO of one of the others. We'd always sort of really ran things as a group, which worked for a long time. But as you get bigger, you kind of need a leader sort of at the top that's sort of driving things. And so GJ decided to leave, and the board came to me and said, "Hey, Mike, would you step back in?" And I said, "Sure, I'd love to." And that's kind of where we've been at. It's actually been very re-energizing for me. I've absolutely loved it. I think we've got such a great team that we've built over the years, and you know, it's been exciting, and I'm excited to take it to the next level for sure.
I was going to ask, but you kind of answered it. Yeah, to come back kind of refreshed and even with fresh eyes, although you were still involved. So, I mean, you're always going to be the founder. And from my understanding, help with marketing, some culinary stuff. But to come back really with fresh eyes in that leadership role, sometimes it takes that to, you know, for any of us in our careers to kind of give it a kick in the pants.
Yeah. And so, and that's what we've been doing. And it's been really, really good. It's been, I think the company's been very well received of me coming back in. And I've just been real focused on making sure that we're the brand we started and to not lose sight of that. So I've done a lot of stuff around culture and kind of getting back to that, you know, scrappy, down and dirty, let's roll up our sleeves. And one of the big things I share with our company is our winning formula is really damn good food, damn good shifts, and damn good hospitality. If you focus on those three simple things, you're going to win every day.
Can't go wrong, right? And how have you changed as a business leader, would you say, in the 15 plus years since you started Torchy's?
I mean, I've definitely developed. I've learned to have more patience, which, you know, from a personal standpoint. I think, too, I've had to learn. Luckily, I learned this pretty early in my career. One thing I've been good about is always hiring people better than me in terms of finding the right people, whether it be finance or construction or whatever. If you got somebody who's an expert in that area, like, let them shine. Let them come in and do their thing and just, you know, give them the guardrails. Hey, this is our brand. We don't stray away from it. But otherwise, go to town and do what you do best. And I think when you allow people to do that, you know, we all kind of win.
The origin story is like legendary, right? Of like driving around on your Vespa, handing out tacos, origin of Torchy's. And you've told, I've read in our paper, the Austin Business Journal, about, you know, buying pumpkins early on as like a marketing gimmick, like, hey, we've got pumpkins. And, you know, the next day everyone's showing up for the pumpkins and they buy some tacos. So some great strokes of luck and genius to like kind of get the name of Torchy's out there. Do you have any marketing advice for other entrepreneurs, restaurateurs? Like, it seems like you've hit a knack for that. And maybe it's, you know, maybe it's, you just got to know if you have it. But how have you developed that? And do you have any advice?
Well, I think your best marketing is kind of what I said earlier about that winning formula. I mean, if, you know, you've got to deliver high level food, really take care of your guests and making sure that you're organized in doing so. Right. So that's hugely important. Without that, it's really hard to market anything. You know, if you've got bad operations or your food's not where you want it to be, it's really hard to pump up your business. So I always start there. And then everything else is really just building that community in and around your restaurants. We partner with a lot of schools and people like that in different communities and give back. So I think when you do that, it really comes back to you tenfold. And, you know, we talk about a lot in our company around building a place where the community comes together, right? So how do we create that environment? Do it through the build outs we talked about earlier, having a great design space that feels comfortable and fun and inviting, making sure your food's great. So it's a lot more sort of grassroots word of mouth. And we lean on social a lot. That's another good way to really get out and be in the community and interact with your guests as well.
Yeah. Do you have someone dedicated or a team dedicated to social? I mean, your social media feeds are, well, entertaining, but like constantly updated. You guys do a lot of it.
Yeah, we definitely have dedicated people. And we're actually in the process of adding to that team so that we can do even more.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I think that's great advice. Like, focus on the product. Like, the marketing will take care of itself in a lot of ways if you have the right product. But I also remember the taco cannons. It's an interesting balance of the product, but then when you have something, a great story to tell, there's some interesting ways you can do it, some non-traditional ways you can do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it kind of goes back to the roots of me just literally. I mean, back then, the trailers and food trucks were not the cool thing to go eat at. They were around, but not to the level they are like we know today. And so I had to get the word out. So it was really about getting my food in people's mouth and just being real genuine and say, hey, I'd love for you to come by and try us out. And I think when you're authentic and genuine that way, people respond to it. So anytime we open a new store, we do that same thing. We invite people. We give them food for free. We throw a big party. We make it fun. We make it interesting. And we hope that we deliver and that they come back.
Right. I remember that from some recent openings in the Austin area. You still do that where it's like the first day is kind of well, it's obviously a trial for the employees too, some of whom might be new, and it's maybe a trial for a new community city trying it. It's still like free and come in and try it. And
Yeah. We do that. We do that every opening pretty much.
Hey, I forgot to ask this earlier before I let you go. You know, there was speculation in 2021 that an IPO might be ahead for Torchy's. I don't know if how accurate that was. And now we've seen things like the Kava IPO, and their shares done pretty dang well. Yeah, I wonder if that changed the calculus, if there was one.
Yeah, we're always looking at, you know, ways to expand and, you know, look at different ways that we can provide opportunities for, you know, our investors as well as our employees. We don't have any immediate plans as far as that goes today, but we, you know, we definitely keep our options open and so that in the future, if something like that were to happen, we're available to do it.
Right. It's a tool out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike, thank you so much for joining us on the Texas Business Minds podcast. Really a pleasure.
All right, my man. Great to see you. Thank you a lot. Good to see you, sir.
Thank you for downloading Texas Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Texas. Brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping companies build a stronger, safer Texas. And by Independent Financial, banking for business, banking for life. Learn more at ifinancial.com.